Okay, so the basis to this will be a Gemara we'll get to in a minute on Avodah Zarah Yates. But every so often I like giving shir on this, which is there, and if there is, why is there humor in Torah? And primarily in the Talmud.
Every day with joke.
Yeah, Rav Zeke.
Oh, Rava used to start. Yeah, we'll get to it. Good. Now, so before we get to the Gemara, okay.
All right.
Before we get to the Gemara, this is something that Ray Clapper pointed out to me once. Right? Is that there is the Chumash at least is not particularly humorous. So every so often you may find puns. Possibly the first pun in Torah is in Bereishis. It's all in order here. Where.
What?
No, that's not like a funny pun. It's like Shamayim. That's just a contraction. That's like, right?
Well, that, it's not a pun. Shamayim is an independent word. It has a root to it. It's not Shamayim.
Okay, fine. So yes, it's true that that might even be earlier. In a sense, that's a pun. The one that might be somewhat funny, not hysterical funny, but is where Hashem tells Kayin, you are going to be Nava Nat Tiyeh Ba'aretz, I'm punishing you and I'm going to make you wander, except what does he actually do in Pshat?
He
goes and lives in a city called Wander, right, in Nod. Oh. Right? But in the Gemara, right, which we'll focus on primarily, right, so Sarai Yitzi Blau has a very nice shir where he notes that not only is it clear that the Gemara has humor, but you can also identify different types of humor, meaning there are different categories of humor, and you can find that the Gemara actually has many different types of humor. Now, puns you would expect, because you know, pun is a very nerdy sense of humor. Rabbis love puns because they're nerds, right? Rabbinic humor is not particularly good, and a lot of them play on puns. If you want to see a lot of bad jokes later, I can show you. We literally have on the internal rabbinic website for YU a joke archive, which I have never used in a shiur ever. Because
sure,
that sounds terrible. I feel like
no, I just don't bother telling jokes. I would not tell jokes before I told those jokes.
I go on there and find a berserker like the most prominent poster.
It's jokes. It's the joke and story archive. Whatever.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Now, obviously, so the fact that Gemara has puns is not really surprising. Yeah.
I guess a little overarching. What's the point of this?
What?
Whoa.
We'll get to that.
Okay.
We'll get to that. First, we have to prove that there is humor. Then we'll get to why it would be important to note that there is humor in the Gemara. Okay. Good. We'll get there. Okay. Now the most famous pun in the Talmud, which happens to be a Pesach pun, and also requires you to know Tanakh, so none of you will get it, but I'll explain it to you, so it's okay, right? Is that the Gemara, right? Here's a little bit of pre-Pesach halacha, right? Where are you obligated to check for chametz?
Only places where you put chametz.
Good. So then the Gemara says, right? Umi amrina nechoshin shema gara cholda. So in the middle of one of these discussions, the Gemara says, but aren't we worried that a weasel would have hidden chametz in your house? Vaksani say, are we worried? So the Gemara says, are we really not worried about it? Vaksani say, v'mash mishayer in chenu b'tzena shalei tzarech b'dika achrav, as Yaakov said, I think, 2 days ago, right? If you are going to have chametz, you know, left over after b'dika, put it in a safe spot, because otherwise you're going to have to do b'dika again, right? You put out 10 pieces of bread, and then you forget where they are, right? You're in trouble, right? Or even you find all of them, and then you put them somewhere, and the next morning they're not there.
Right.
You're in trouble. So you see, you are worried. Rabbi Lokasha Barbasar Bishloshasar. Bishloshasar Deshlicha Rifta Bekule Bate Lo Mitzana Barbasar Deshlicha Rifta Bekule Bate Mitzana. And the Gemara says, on the 14th of Nisan, we are not worried that, on the 14th of Nisan, we're worried that a chulda is going to hide chametz from you, but on the 13th, we're not worried because you could always get bread somewhere else. So the Gemara says, really? Really? The weasel knows when it's 13th or the 14th of Pesach such that he should be planning to hide the chametz? The weasel.
Pun.
Weasel?
Weasel.
Pun.
What?
Rat.
Weasels
don't eat bread. They don't go to houses.
Samarava. So the rabbi says, v'chi chulda nevi'ahi? And he says, is the chulda a navi, diadana? And the answer, and why is that funny? Because, yes, there was a woman named Chulda who was a nevi'ah in Direi Yamim. Ha ha, hysterically funny. Okay, good, great. Puns doesn't surprise me. It also happens to be... Oh yeah, sure. Now, it also happens to be that... The humor that you probably would least expect to be in the Gemara is slapstick. But guess what? The Gemara has slapstick. Slapstick is like, you know, like person slipping on banana peel. Slapstick. Right? Three Stooges. Slapstick. Elamai. The Gemara in Bava Kamma Lamed Zayin Aleph is undeniably slapstick. Right? Because the Gemara has the following case. That Chanan Bisha Taka Leilahu Gavra. There was a man named Chanan Bisha, or the scoundrel Bisha, who hit somebody, right? And also made Rav Huna, Amar Le Zav Zil Hav Le Palga De Zuz. He says, you owe half a Zuz. So what did he do? This is predictable already. Hav Le Zuz E Maka. He had a full Zuz, and he asked for change. Bar Le Mizvim in a Palga De Zuz. So he tried to give him the Zuz and get change. Lohave Mishtaka Le, but he wouldn't do it. He wouldn't give him change. So what did he do? He hit him on the other side of the face and gave him the whole thing, right? That was very tuckley, right? That was like predictable, right? That is classic slapstick, right? Slapstick routine.
That's hilarious.
That is classic, right? Classic.
I don't actually laugh at this. Yeah, it's great.
I didn't say it was funny. I said it's, but it is clearly a form of humor. There are people.
It's
look,
funny.
The it's funny to certain people, and the Three Stooges really did make many a lot of money, yeah. Right? Based on this type of humor, right? Certain people find slapstick funny, right? Certain people don't. But it is, you know, this is like standard slip on banana peel humor, right? There's no denying this, okay? Now,
are you learning a lesson from this story?
No, I mean,
is that like a,
sure, if you punch someone twice, you'll have to pay him twice. Yes, right? That's true. It's a story. It's clearly meant to be funny. Like, it's clearly meant to be funny. Now.
I don't understand what you mean. This is not supposed to be funny.
Throw something at him.
Everything except halacha is supposed to be taken entirely seriously.
Yes. Okay. Now, the reason I get into this is because our Gemara on Daf Yates has what is the other most likely type of humor that rabbis will use, and that is
ironic.
Irony. Irony, right? Especially cynical irony, but fine, irony, right? Now, this is one of my favorite stories in Shas, because this is rabbinic humor, right? This is like very rabbinic humor. So, this is our Gemara. Levi, Reb Shimon, Berebi, Yosef, Kameh, Derebi, Vikapaski, Sidra. So, Levi and Reb Shimon were learning from Rebbe, and they were learning Torah. And then, Salik, Sifra, they finished. They made a Siyum. So, what do you have to do after a Siyum? Pick a new Sefer to learn, right? You finish learning one thing, you pick something new to learn. So, Levi Amar Laisi Lan Mishle, Reb Shimon Berebi Amar Laisi Lan Tilim. So they had a machloket, right? Levi said, "Let's learn Mishle," and Reb Shimon Berebi said, "Let's learn Tilim."
Why not Gemara?
What? They were learning drushes. What doesn't matter? That's not the kashi here. Kafye le Levi. So, so Rebbe.
Mishnah.
Rebbe also wanted to learn Tehillim. So Levi was outvoted.
Yes.
Right, so kafye le Levi vase tilim. What was the problem? They got a few psukim into the pasuk of ki im b'toras Hashem cheftzo, and Rebbe made a drasha. Perush Rebbe Bamar. What is ki im b'toras Hashem cheftzo? If the Torah is your desire, ein adam lo me Torah elab mimakom shaliba chafetz. You only learn Torah and the things that you desire. So Amar Levi. So Levi said, Rebbe. Now, Sasta Lanarishos Lama, you've just given me permission to leave, right? Right? Now, that is classic, right? That is perfectly played cynical irony. Just perfectly played. Perhaps even more classic, and this is, right? If I had to categorize it slightly different, because here, this was like not planned, right? It was just, he took advantage of cynical irony. Sometimes you outwit your opponents in a comical way, right? That you find, Chief Rabbi Sachs loves this Gemara. I heard him say it once in YU that he loved, like, this was like his favorite Gemara. The Gemara in Rosh Hashanah in Chavtesim and Beis has the following story. So, the background was, there was a machlokes. After Chorban Abayit, in the time of Chorban Abayit, you blew shofar in Yerushalayim on Shabbos. Yeah? Yes?
Mm. Yes.
Right? Even though it's Asher Midrabanan to blow shofar on Shabbos, in the Mikdash, and Makom HaMikdash, so Yushalayim, you...
Do it.
Right? You did not have the Shvus. So it was a Machlokes. Once Yushalayim was destroyed, and the Chacham moved to...
To Yavne.
So the Machlokes emerged. Is Yavne for these purposes like Yerushalayim? Meaning, would we override the Dirabanan and blow the shofar in Yavne? Okay? That's the background here. So, here was the Machlokes. Okay? So, Rabbi Yochan ben Zakkai said to Bnei Bisera, Nitka, Rabbi Yochan ben Zakkai said, I think you should blow the shofar. Now, this happens to fit Rabbi Yochan ben Zakkai's theory in general, which was part of the way he dealt with Korban HaBayit, was recreating Korban HaBayit, right? A lot of his takanot, you'll see, go like this, right? That in the time of the Mikdash, you only took the lulav 7 days in Mikdash and Begvulin for 1 day. But once the Bayit is destroyed, we take the lulav all 7 days at Begvulin. Right? I mean, one of the ways that he dealt with it is by expanding Mikdash practices outside the Mikdash. So this is classic Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai.
Does he do it like as a takana? Or like
He does seem to do it as a takana. He seems to do it as a shita. Right? Uh-huh. No, like, yeah, as a takana, but like as a series of takana that were meant at a certain aim. Uh-huh. Right? That's a shir for another time. Weird. Okay?
But it's like his own personal takana?
I mean, he was allowed to do that.
I know.
Not for himself, like he made takanos. Uh-huh. Right? Like he is the author of these takanos. He got consensus, but that's not the point. Yeah. So Amrlo, Nidon. So they said to him, look, you're not going to blow shofar before we talk about it, are you? Let's discuss whether this is mutter. So Amrlehem, Nitkavakav Nidon. He said, look, let's blow the shofar, because by the time we finish this machlogas, it's Russia is going to be over. So this year, let's blow the shofar, and then we'll have a discussion what policy will be, right? So la'achar shetaku, amr lo nidon. So they blew the shofar, and then they said, okay, now it's time to talk about policy. Amr lahem, kfar nishma keren b'yavne. Ve'im mishim la'achar ma'isa. What's there to talk about? We already did it. Right? Now this is also...
This one's not a joke.
Now it's not, but it's funny.
Yeah.
Right? See, that's the thing. It's not a joke. But it's deathly serious.
They kept this.
Good. Now,
is it Karen or Karen?
Karen.
What?
The yeshiva, is it Karen B'Yavne?
No, it's Kerem. It's Kerem B'Yavne, because they sat... Because Kerem B'Yavne, they sat in a half circle. Yeah. Yes. Like...
Isn't that part? It's a lone translation from Greek.
Come on. Please stop.
The Chazal's understanding of it was that they sat in a half circle. Great.
But what does Kerem B'Yavne mean?
In the orchard.
Literally the vineyard of Yavne.
That they sat in a half circle.
Because that's the way they would... Anyways. Okay. But yes, it is Kerem B'Yavne, or just KBY. Okay?
Wasn't it Chazal who named it? So
what? Okay. Now...
Chazal didn't name KBY.
Now, good. So, why does this matter? Now, Ellie... Okay, I tortured you for 10 minutes, and I showed you a few examples, and we'll see a few more as we go through, of... evidence that Chazal were at least trying to be funny and sometimes succeeded. I don't know whether they always did. That's, you know, that's al tam v'reach, ein litvakeach, and kal v'chomer on sense of humor. I mean, certain things are just objectively not funny. But those, you appreciate why they are at least funny according to certain types of humor, right? I find some of them funny. Maybe you do, maybe you don't. I don't know. Okay, why does it matter, right? Why is there a benefit bechlal to humor? I definitely put Rava Pasa Huduchasa, did I not? Seriously? That's what happens when you, like, put together different sources. Now, obviously, right, the classic one that proves that Chazal valued it is not just our attempts at finding humor in the Talmud, is the fact that the Gemara says in no uncertain terms that Rava would open every shir with a joke.
Right.
Right? Presumably a funny joke.
Well.
I mean...
Look, if we believe that Chazal were greater than us, then obviously they had a greater sense of humor than us, right? Fine.
That's funny, man.
Yeah, good, great, okay.
I've seen
anyways.
The jokes, and the only really funny one was from the Hunt on the Scoundrel, so.
That was good.
Yeah, that was pretty good. I mean, look, that was well played. Okay. So why would it be important, though? Why does it matter? Why do we care? Why is there a value to having a sense of humor?
Yeah.
So, well, throw some reasons out to me.
It would say it lightens the mood. It makes peace between two people.
It allows you to do chuva.
It makes you sin, and therefore you could do tshuva.
Yeah. Okay, so first of all, there is... First of all, at some level, there is just a value... So let's see. At a very simple level, there's a... We like... There is a value to people being happy.
Yes.
That's important. Right? Not like the end goal of everything in the world, but it is...
Yeah, that's not true.
It is important. And even if you don't believe in you being happy, there's a mitzvah to make other people happy. Right? Especially if they happen to be depressed. Right? Right? That is not me making that up. That's a Gemara. In number 6, where the Gemara is in the middle of discussing, Rabbi Broka came to Eliyahu, because he always talked with Eliyahu, because Eliyahu talks with everybody, except for me, apparently. Whatever. And he says to Eliyahu, definitely not Eli. No. No. Eli's like, I don't believe you. This is irrational. You're not here. Right? So Broka says to Eliyahu, is there anybody here who has a chilek in Olam Haba? In this marketplace. And he looks around and he says, ah, those two people who do not exactly look like rabbinic figures. So he runs over to them and he says to them, that's Amarle Hanach Nami Bnei Alma Dalsin. And these people are going to the world to come. So Azal Gabaya, so Rebroga went to them and Amarlehu, my Uvdaichu, what exactly do you do such that Eliyahu picked you out as getting a portion of the world to come? So Amarle in She Beduche Anan, we are jesters. We are people who make people laugh. That's what we do for a living. And mivadicha natsive. But we focus on making sad people happy. And that's what we do. Inami ki chazin betrayed is lo tigra badayu darchino avdin lushalma. Or when we see people are fighting, we try to make peace. Right now, I don't know if that's related to it. Right? Meaning, one is they make sad people happy, and the second thing is they make peace. Now, those may be related, because it may be that when people are fighting, the best way to lighten the mood and make peace is lighten the mood. Right? So those may be related. So that's one, right? Simply, yeah, there's a value in being happy and at some level. Another one, right? Reverse in a very reversian moment, argues that, yes, it also helps us survive. The reason that Jews have managed to survive for so long is because we are really good at being cynical and laughing in the face of
danger.
Danger. Yes. His example is, right? His example is that when the Jews thought they were about to die in the desert, they didn't just say, "Ay, we're dying." They said to Moshe, "Hamibliin kvarim b'Mitzrayim." There weren't enough graves in Egypt, which is like the classic, like, curmudgeon-y grandfather, right? Right? You're gonna kill me. You couldn't have killed me before we came here, right? Like, you know, it's like classic. So Rehersh says in 8, the cynicism is remarkable. Moments from what in their mind is certain death, they still have an inclination towards black humor. This sharp irony, even in moments of deepest anxiety and despair, is characteristic of the witty vein which is inherent in the Jewish race from the earliest beginnings. The second is, it helps you get through trouble, right? Well, I laugh in the face of death.
This was not a good thing they did.
I didn't say it was, but still... That doesn't change it, right? He's just pointing out that Jews have always been cynically funny. Always. Right? This is like... You can definitely imagine old people in your shul making a joke like this. You definitely can.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, it's no. Like, if you were going to kill me, you should have killed me before Pesach. Right?
So I didn't have to clean up my...
Right, you know, you can... I've heard people make that joke, right? Like, sometimes it's not funny... Right? Like, the rabbi in the Bayit a few years ago said he was at a shiva, his wife was at a shiva house, and a woman there, in all seriousness, said to the Rebbetzin that she felt that she wished she had been the one who died, because, you know, she would rather not clean for Pesach. You know, like we do have this type of sense of humor.
What?
Yeah, it's a madrega. What? Didn't say it to the person sitting shiva. They said at the shiva house. You know.
Fine. What's the buy it?
What?
What's the buy
it? Oh, it's the biggest shul in Toronto and possibly North America.
Oh.
Yeah. Are you joking?
No.
Isn't it
Israel? Israel Woodmere?
Yes.
How many members?
Official members, I think when I left, were 803 member families, and another 150 families were not associated. We have 11 minyanim on Shabbos morning.
11?
Are you joking? The Young Israel Woodmere is like...
I do think we're bigger.
Like,
I think they might be...
Double or triple.
They're not double or triple. There's no way you're double or triple.
I
thought they had 1,000
families. 2,000
family members. 2,000
families?
Yeah.
2,000
families.
I don't know when that happened. Okay, it doesn't matter. Anyways,
that's an impossible.
There's
Zeddy.
Only a, that's like
I don't think
a
that's
million.
Right.
That's crazy.
First of all, A, no,
what?
But B...
Okay, we're just going to move on. We're just going to move on. It's not important. Not important. Okay, guys, we're just not going to... We're just not, okay? Okay. Fine. Another point is that Chazal assume... Oh, no, I did. Sorry, I did too. Rav Apostol, I did put that. Is that Chazal assume that you can't... You can't be involved. You can't really, like, be involved in spirituality if you're so, you're sad. Like depression makes it difficult to be mekabel Hashem, yeah, right? And that's what the Gemara says in Shabbos in number 9. Ulasimcha mazosa, zo simcha shein osa mitzvah. Lamed chashen shchina shara lo mitoch atzvas, lo mitoch atzlos, lo mitoch schok, v'lo mitoch kalas rosh, v'lo mitoch sicha, v'lo mitoch dvarim betelim. The shchina is not shara, not the sadness or laziness or levity, right? Not like
right.
But joy of a mitzvah, right? V'chein l'dvar halacha. And the same is true of halacha, and amarava, v'chein l'chalam tov, eini, etc., etc. Well, actually, no, we should come back to that. You know, I'm debating whether to go through it now. No, we'll go through it now, right? So he says, amarav, kol tamen chacham, amarav, gid l'marav, kol tamen chacham, she'yosh l'vnei rabba, v'in sivsosav, not v'otz mar, ticha v'enna, sh'nei amar, sivsosav, sh'oshanim, not v'otz mar, al tuk nimor, over, el amar over, al tuk yoshanim, el sh'oshanim. So he says, really, you should be happy. Torah doesn't succeed unless the Rebbe is dripping bitterness, right? Being caustic and bitter and biting, you know. This is where I get my inspiration from, right? I try my best to be mean, or the Grinch, or whatever the case may be, right? Whatever. So the Gemara says, don't worry. The Rebbe, right? So the Gemara says, Haraba b'talmid. The Rebbe can be happy just to make the students miserable, right? That's the job. That's the job. So
he might say, pleasure from making the students miserable.
So he says, Iva yizema haba rabba l'kasha mikamid l'vatzach alabasar b'vatzach. He says, or alternatively, it depends where. You start off in a good mood and then you get serious, right? Ki hadi rabba, the mikamid l'vatzach l'rabbanan amro milzab d'chuzah. Then before he would start, he would say a joke, get everyone, right? Yeah. Chilled, and then get down to business. Right, so first everyone laugh, and then he would make them all terrified. Right, they would sit in dread. Right, and they would learn. So again, the Chazal see that it's important to be makab peishchina, and educationally, it also throwing in a little bit of humor makes it easier to listen to a shir, especially if it's about to be very serious. Right, it's much easier to give a shir where people are in a good mood.
Yeah.
Right.
Also, the
you know, in our shir, we always hear you laughing on the other side. I don't know exactly what's going on over there, right? But yeah, it sounds uproariously funny. Fine. Now, I would add. So I would add that I think it's not just helpful to get people in the right mood, but if you can do it right, using humor to give mussar is also helpful because it softens the blow.
No,
now,
no.
Right, Clapper likes giving this example. It's one of my favorite examples in all of Shas.
Do
you
want to soften the blow?
What?
Do we want to soften the blow?
You do if people want to be able to accept it, yes.
Emotion.
Ariel doesn't need...
Not you. Like you, I can just tell it straight. Ellie, some people don't like fire and brimstone, but fire and brimstone mixed with humor, they can handle.
I just don't know what the statistics are. I have no idea.
Most people aren't you. How about that, Ellie?
Look, you don't have to look in the person's mouth to know that men have more teeth than women. You just gotta use your mind,
alright? Whatever. Come on. Oh, well.
I got
okay, so Ray Clapper likes using this example. Guys, Ray Clapper likes using this example as what he thinks is a misunderstood Gemara. I tend to agree with him, right? Because you've probably heard this Gemara dead serious, but it's really not. Right, which is
the 127.
No, not that one. That one's obviously not serious. The Gemara says that's not serious. Right? The Gemara people say, "Oh, you can't be as great as the Gedolim because if they were like angels, we're like people." Right? You read those Hadoros. Yeah, if you look at the original Gemara, it's hysterical, or an attempt to be hysterical. I don't know if it is, but I think it is. Right? So, how does the Gemara go? The Gemara goes like this: Kari ale list dain bar inish. They said about this person, he's not a human being. Right? Means beyond human. Igadamri kagon dain bar nash. Alternatively, this is the epitome of a human being. Okay. And then Reb Zera says, "Amar Reb Zera, Amar Rava bar Zimuna. Imri Shonim. And I want you to imagine the scene for a moment. Okay, think about the most serious person, rabbi, you can think of. Like, serious, never cracks a joke. I don't know who you have in mind. Whoever you have in mind, okay?
Yeah. Whoever,
I have people in mind, okay? Yaakov, yeah. Okay. Have someone in mind who has no sense of humor, right? Me, thank you, Zeb.
That's a lie.
No,
and the person gets up to give a fire and brimstone sichas moser, and he says, if the Moshe Feinstein was an angel, anu b'nei anashim, then we are mere human beings. V'im rishonim b'nei anashim, if the Moshe was a human being, anu kechamoirim, then we are nothing but donkeys. Up till now, it's fire and brimstone. What's the next line? V'lo kechamoro shor b'chanina ben dosa v'shem pinchas ben yoyer, but lest you think we're special donkeys. No, we're regular donkeys. And then they go on long stories about donkeys who kept Shabbos, right? And kept, right? And only ate food that you gave trumas and misers from. Right? People quote this as if it's serious. It's obviously not serious. Right? Meaning, there's a point, which is, yes, the earlier generations are greater than us. We have to respect the earlier generations. But it's tempered with a heavy dose of humor. Right? Just imagine the modern equivalent, right? Come up with whatever you want, right? If Ramosha was an angel, we're people. If Ramosha was a person, then...
We're
a dog. Yeah, whatever, right? We are, you know, we are mice, but not Mickey Mouse, because Mickey Mouse runs an empire, you know, like, I don't know, whatever, right? Like, it's clear there's a sense of humor there, right, that's being mixed in, right? Now, I mean,
Funny. Yeah.
It's like, okay. Again, different generations, I don't know if they would exactly make that joke, but it's clearly not meant to be totally serious. But there's meant to be an element of humor. And now, the truth is, I pointed out at some point that if you look at the version in the Yerushalmi, in the Yerushalmi's version, isn't giving mussar to somebody else, it's actually someone giving mussar to himself. Right? He's laughing at himself, and we all know that being able to laugh at ourselves is helpful to bring ourselves down a notch. So you look in the Yerushalmi, it was a case where Rabbi Yirmiya had accidentally eaten something that had not had Trumos and Maestros given on it. And then he said about himself, Im harishonim kimalachem anu kvin adam im harishonim kvin adam anu kichamorim v'lo kichamor shal Pinchas ben Yair, because Pinchas ben Yair could tell the difference between Tevel and Truma, right? Tevel and Matuka, and I can't, right? So it was about himself.
Well, doesn't that all make sense?
Okay. Now, another one which we've quoted before is that, if you remember from the beginning of the year, I quoted this from the Rav, that the Rav thought that having a sense of humor was a kiyum, I don't know how seriously he meant this, but he said it, was a kiyum of a halachta b'drachav, because if you remember, God spends 3 hours a day, according to the Gemara, laughing, playing with Leviathan, from which the Rav argued to be funny is to be godly. Sure. His sense of humor, what? That was Gimel Amud Beis. That was in our Gemara, so we've seen it before.
Humor is next to godliness, but only in an Irish dictionary.
Oh, that was terrible. That was such British humor. It was like...
They have no words in Ireland.
I don't even know what Ireland is.
Do they have no words between it?
Zvi says that is a joke, but having talked to you guys in geography, I know that that's true. I don't know which side of that divide you're on, but yeah, I know that half of you don't know what Ireland is. You definitely don't know what the difference between Ireland and Northern Ireland, and maybe one of you knows what the troubles were, and Donnie is not here, so none of you know what the troubles were. What?
The potato famine?
Oh, Protestant and...
one of you knows! Yes!
No, yes. The IRA, yes.
Two of you know! Yay!
The shoppers.
Baruch Hashem. Good. Okay. Okay, guys, continuing. However, now Ellie will be happy. The Gemara also has plenty of negative things to say about being happy and being funny, right? Wonderful, wonderfully negative things.
Funny.
Not funny. So, the Gemara in number 13 says, Amar Rabbi Yochanan Mishum Rishim Ben Yochai, Asur le'adam she'emalei schok piv ba'olam hazeh. It is forbidden to fill your mouth with mirth in this world. Shne'emar az yemalei schok pinu shonenu rina. Because the Pasuk in Dilem says, then, in the future, our mouths will be filled with shchok and song, Emasai, Bizman, the second half of the Pasuk, Sheyomru Bagoyim Higdel Hashem Lasso Zemela, when Goyim will say, oh, God has been great. Amru Alav Rish Lakish, so therefore he says, only then, meaning in the future, after
Mashiach
and whatever, then you're allowed to be happy or full of mirth. But not until then. And Amru Alav Rish Lakish, Shemiyamav Mile Schok Piv Volomazeh, Michishamar Yochanan Rabbi. And they said that Rish Lakish, once you heard this from Yochanan Zakkai, was never mirthful, right? Never full of mirth. Now, there is a machlokas Rishonim and Poskim, honestly, whether the point here is Olam Hazeh versus Olam Haba, or Churban versus non-Churban. Right? Meaning, is it that Bikaron, being happy, is a problem? But once, like, the truth is revealed in the world, so then
right.
It's a different type of joy? Or is it, no, really joy is fine, but we have to be Misabel
right.
on the Beis HaMikdash, and therefore part of that calculus is that we shouldn't be overly happy now. But you see throughout the Gemara that what you see throughout the Gemara is that the way to which this was the way in which this was applied was a machlokas. There were people who took this very seriously in Chazal, and people who did less. And this I do find very funny. The members of Chazal apparently didn't respect each other's shittot. It wasn't like, oh, you are makbid, I'm glad, I'm not makbid, I'm glad, you're makbid not to laugh, and I laugh, right? It was, no, the people who thought you should laugh spend their days trying to get the people who are too serious to laugh, which that I, by the way, find absolutely hysterical, right? So you look at number 14, until this point, Rabbi Yirmiyah tried to get Rabbi Zeir to laugh, and he didn't pull it off. And Rashi says that bechol takpulos alalu asak Rabbi Yirmiyah lavi Rabbi Zeir alide schok velo sachak. I mean, Rabbi Yirmiyah went through all these different ways of trying to get Rabbi Zeir to laugh. He just couldn't do it, right? Why? To also shemali schok piv Zeir machmir tvei. Right? He said Rabbi Meir was really machmir. Right? Miriam was a little bit less machmir. Right? Meaning, everyone agreed you couldn't laugh all the time. Right? You had to be somewhat serious, whatever that means. Reb Zeir was machmir, and he never laughed. Right? You know, it was a chumrah. If I can't laugh all the time, then I'll never laugh. And Reb Yirmiyah was like, oh, come on. Come on. He kept trying to say jokes, do whatever. Didn't work. In one of my favorite stories in Gemara Nedarim, this is a particularly lengthy illustration of the polls you could get. So, the Gemara starts with a very serious line. Yoma demachayich bei Rebbe asya perunus alama. On the day, any day that Rebbe would smile or laugh, horrible tragedies would come to the world. So, therefore, when it was time for his son's wedding, Amar Leila Bar Kapara, he told Bar Kapara, said, look, don't make me laugh at my son's wedding, and I will give you 40 sa'a of wheat, 40 baskets full of wheat as payment for you not trying to make me laugh. Because Bar Kapara was like the funny man. Right? He was the less serious rabbi. Right? He was the Rabbi Rapp, if you know Rabbi Rapp. Rabbi Rapp is one of the Rebbeim and YU who has a hysterical sense of humor. Right? He's the guy who was roommates with Reb Solovsky and KBY and decided it'd be fun to raise a goat in their bathtub for 6 weeks. Like he's a you know, more than your chickens, he raised a goat, right? You know, and I've heard all types of wonderful stories. He actually is funny. Not like funny like rabbis are funny. He's actually funny. As I heard from Tarragon, not Reb Moshe Tarragon, right? He was in high school with him. And he said he was once in class with him. I don't know if I was saying this on record, whatever. He said he used to be a troublemaker. He liked getting kicked out of class. So one day, the teacher said, "Rap, no matter what you do today, I know you want to be kicked out of class. I'm not going to kick you out." So he went, bad idea. So he went and he sat down in the front row. And he took his book and he threw it up to the ceiling and let it fall down. Threw it up to the ceiling. I just kept doing this. And eventually the teachers lost it. They're like, "Rap, get out of here. Get out. But before you go, I just have one question. What are you trying to prove?" "Gravity." And then he walks out. Like, so, you know, there are people who are just legitimately funny. Right? He's legitimately funny. That's actually, like, that's not rabbinic humor. That's just legitimately funny. So Bar Kapara was apparently, that, like, he also, like, once, you know, You know. But anyways, they tell all different stories about him. He's very funny. So, so he said, "I will pay you, right, to not make me laugh." So Amar Lei, Lichsi Mar de Kol Giura de Beina Shakelna. He says, "Deal, but only if I get to pick the basket." Right, he said, "I'll give you 40 baskets." He said, "Fine, deal."
We made a basket full of coffee.
Oh, did I actually not? Oh, I'm sorry. Like I actually.
Oh, yeah, you were there.
I actually only put half the Gemara. Sorry, before this, I put this is the middle of the Gemara. I'm sorry. I actually cut to the middle of this Gemara. That's a mistake when I copied this on. The beginning of the Gemara was what started like this. The beginning of the Gemara is that they were preparing the wedding and they didn't invite Bar Kappara to the wedding.
Okay.
Can you get me Gemara Nida? Nadarim, rather. Come in, Gemara Nadarim. So it starts off with them not inviting Bar Kappara to the wedding. This is a mistake, right? Big mistake to not invite Bar Kappara. Why didn't they invite Bar Kappara to the wedding? Because he's going to make them laugh, right? They don't want to. Rebbe never laughs. Rebbe is a very serious person. He doesn't laugh.
Well, they didn't want calamity to befall the world.
Yeah, well, that was the point. So,
it's very reasonable.
Oh, yeah, it was great.
I think everyone would be on board,
So, they come in, they're in the middle preparing for the wedding, and they come into the wedding, and they see they have this, you know, gorgeous, fancy chuppah, right?
Yes.
And they come in, and it's graffitied. And it says, you spent arbon, esrim arbon alfin ribon dinar nafku al beis ginana, you spent 10,000 coins, and you spent a fortune of money on this chuppah, v'lo azme kapara, and you couldn't afford to invite Bar Kappara, right? And then he comes up with this impossible line to explain. And he says, in Amar Lei, somebody said to somebody, no one knows who said to who, Im la ovre ritsono kach, la ose ritsono al achas kama vekama. Right? Which is normally a line in the Gemara about, if you violate God's word and he has mercy on you, then how much more so to people who keep his word. But this doesn't, right? But this makes no sense. Right, so Bar Kappara said to Rebbe, according to Rashi, right? Yeah, it's not really clear. It's not clear what's going on, but it's something like, right? It's not clear if he's saying, "Look, like you are going to be punished for violating what I said and not inviting me," or "How could you not invite me and not do what I said?" Or "I didn't do what you said, but I'm still getting less." It's not clear what's going on. He's making some sort of very convoluted, nonsensical pun on a classic rabbinical statement. It's not clear what's going on, and we can have a whole shiur on what exactly he wants from him. But in the meantime, he invites him. Right? He wins. Right? So he wins, but now the Gemara tells you, but he really shouldn't get him to laugh, because if he does, the world will come to an end. Right? Bad things happen when Rebbe is happy. Rebbe has to be miserable at all times. So he paid him off. He said, "Fine, you get to come to the wedding, but and I will pay you a fortune of money, 40 baskets worth of..." Now, this is a joke, because really, a saw is an amount, right? Because it fits in a certain basket, right? So Bar Kappara says, "Sure, but I get to pick the basket," right? He plays with him, okay? You know, let's look at the English, because we don't have so much time. So what happens? He takes a huge basket, right? Not a small basket, but like a huge, like a barrel, right? And he puts tar on it, and he puts it over his head, right? And then he walks in and says, "Give me my payment before the wedding," right? So, right, the deal was, you'll pay me after the wedding if you don't make me laugh. But instead, he comes in before the wedding, with the barrel on his head, right? Which is already saying, right, "I don't care about the money, I want you to laugh." Right? So he uses this as a joke. And what is Rabbi Huda's response to him? And he says, "Didn't I tell you, don't make me laugh?" Right? "What are you doing?" So he said, "What do you want from me? I'm just coming to take the wheat that you promised me." Great. Continues. So at the wedding, on the day before the wedding, he says to the chassan, he said to the daughter of Rebbe, "Tomorrow I will dance, your father and mother will dance at their son's wedding," right? Meaning, I promise you, despite the fact that Rebbe and his wife apparently are never happy, or Rebbe's wife isn't happy because Rebbe's never happy, even at their kid's wedding. I don't know what exactly is going on, right? I promise you, tomorrow they will be singing and dancing. Okay, so what happens? So they come to the wedding, and Bar Kappara goes over to him, you know, and you can imagine, like, what's Rebbe doing? He's not happy, so he's just sitting at the dais, you know, right? Staring into space, stony-faced into...
He's learning.
Whatever. So Bar Kappara does what rabbis do when they're not... What do rabbis do at a wedding if they're not enjoying the wedding? They learn, right? So he goes over, he says, okay, you don't want to enjoy the wedding, we'll shmooze Torah. What would you talk about at a wedding if you were at Rebbe's son's wedding? I don't know anything except for what he's about to do, right? And he says, Rebbe, I have a question for you in Parshat Arayot. What does the word toeva mean? Right? And Rebbe gives him a bunch of explanations. And Bar Kappara, on every attempt at the word toeva, says, nah, that's not pshat, that's not pshat, that's not pshat, that's not pshat. So finally, Rehuda Anasi is so annoyed, he says, fine. What does toeva mean in the context of illicit sexual relationships? And this is like the most bizarre conversation to having at the wedding. And he says, well, you want to know what toeva means so much? You care about Torah so much? Come, let your wife come. We'll have a toast. Let's pour a glass of wine. Dance for me, and then I'll tell you. So Rebbe says, fine. Right? And after he gets him to drink a little bit and have a little bit to eat, he says, toeva. It's a pun. It's toea taba. You are straying in it. Fine. Number two. Bar Kappara does it again. He says, okay, you still don't want to get up? What does the word tevel mean? In the context of a riot, what does tevel mean? Perversion. Tevel who? Right? It is a perversion. It's talking about, right? This is just another one of those words, right? There are many of these words that describe different arayot as particularly egregious. So what's tevel? As in the pasuk of, you shouldn't sleep, the woman shouldn't sleep with an animal, right? Shouldn't commit bestiality. Again, perfect conversation of the dais of Rebbe Yehuda Nasi's son's wedding, right? So he gives him a bunch of explanations, and Bar Kappara says, nah, that's not pshat. So Yehuda Nasi then says, okay, what is it? He says, tevel is... Tevel Yeshba, Tavlin Yeshba, does it have any spice in it? Right? Because it, you know, it's such so disgusting. If a woman is involved in bestiality, it must be that there's something, right? Now, all these are obviously ridiculous. There's not pshat in the pasuk, right? But what do you already see in this story, right? That clearly Rabbi Yehuda Nasi at this point has given in to the fact that he's going to enjoy himself at this wedding, because he doesn't, what should he do at this point?
He should
kick him out, but instead he keeps engaging him in conversation. So again he says, dance for me, drink for me, I'll tell you. And then he does it again. What does Zima mean? And again the same thing happens. So he says, dance like you did before, have another drink, right? And he says, Zu Mahi. Zima is this, what is it? Right, this, what is it? Again, not really pshat, right? Because no one will know who their mother is, their father is, their daughter is, right? Enough people are lewd, no one knows anything. And at this point, right, Rabbi Yehuda Anasi has been getting up and actually dancing at his son's wedding, right, and having a good time. At this point, he's had several drinks, right? And his son-in-law storms out. He just leaves. He just storms out. And that's the end of the story. Okay? Now, here you see very clearly that Bar Kappara believes in a certain level of levity and humor in the proper context. And Rabbi Yehuda Anasi didn't at the beginning of the story and does at the end of the story. Right? At least at his son's wedding, he's willing to accept a level of enjoyment and a level of happiness, even if it takes a little bit of joking around. Now, the interesting thing is that what has Ben Elisha, right, Elisha, the son-in-law of Rabbi Yehuda Anasi, represent in this story? Why does he storm out?
Because of embarrassment.
So it could be that he's humiliated, right? Because, which means that what? He represents Rabbi Yehuda Anasi pre-transformation.
Right?
It's like he doesn't buy that this is illegitimate, right? I mean, it could just be he's embarrassed, or it could be like he doesn't, because clearly Rabbi Yehuda Anasi isn't embarrassed, he keeps doing it.
Yeah.
Right? He allows Bar Kappara to rope him in each time. But he represents the model that, no, it's all or nothing. right? Now, there are other possibilities, right? It's also possible that he was upset because if he's his son-in-law, what does that mean?
He didn't bat. Dance at his wedding.
Yeah, he didn't dance at his wedding, right? If he managed to, right, Kapara managed to get him to dance at this wedding, but clearly not at the first wedding, right? So there could be a little bit of resentment here. It's not clear what's going on. A lot of fun things are going on. But again, you see this notion that there's two sides, right? There are people who recognize that there can be value to humor and people who don't, and there is some sort of balance that Gemara is trying to meet. Okay. Now, people who are exceptionally humorous, or what we would call scoffers, right? I mean, people take nothing seriously, that's not a good thing. Right? That, the Gemara says, in Sota, that Omer Yirmi Bar Arba Arba Kito De Mekalim Pnei HaShechina, right? There are four people who will never accept the Shechina, Kat Leitzim, Kat Hanifim, Kat Shkarim, Kat Misapri Lashonara. The scoffers, flatterers, liars, and slanderers. Now, why is that? Right? Why do you think that even if there's value to some humor, it would be bad to be funny all the time, right? Why is that not mekal pnei
hashchina?
So right, so part of it you don't take everything seriously. That includes God, yeah. Right? There is, I think, a little bit more to it. This was something an insight I got when I was a Tikva fellow from one of the people in our cohort. That was their favorite word in Tikva. Cohort. What?
Which one of the laughter guys in this segment?
What?
Which one
of these four
is
scoffers?
Scoffers. Leitzim. Leitz in Hebrew, right? Meaning in English, they translate, really means like clowns.
I don't like laughing at people.
Yeah, they're right. It's a certain type of, right? It's people who don't take things seriously or they scorn serious things, right? Sure. At some level, though, I think part of the pshat, so again, there was a, my year in Tikva, one of the fellows was a Christian who'd never actually gone through the Bible. So one of her projects, she went through the Bible and she was discussing it at some point in one of our meetings. And she said that, so one of the Israelis was telling a story and he said when he was in the army, there was always one person that right before they went to battle would tell jokes to lighten the mood, to help them all get ready for war. Right? And everyone in the room was like, oh, you know, that makes sense, right? You know, to have that courage. But this woman who'd been going through Tanakh for the first time said, you know, my intuition is to say that that's a good thing, except I'm going through the book of Samuel now, and it sounds like the day of war was a super serious thing. They're davening, they're fasting, right? Now, she's right. Why? Because at some level, it's true. Going into war, laughing, does make it easier. But Dafka facing the possibility of mortality is what forces you to remember that your fate depends on God. Right? By making it all a laughing matter and making yourself courageous by not taking it seriously, you do direct yourself away from God. Right? And at some level, that's true. Right? You think about how, right, in Tanakh, right, we don't lighten the mood by jokes. We don't, Dafka don't lighten the mood. Right? Serious moments remain serious because that forces you to look towards God. Yeah. And I think part of it is, yes, even if there is a value, an educational value, an emotional value to humor, extreme of it, especially when it takes a negative valence of scoffing, prevents you from seeing God. Now, Halacha L'maisa gave you just one shita, right? One sort of middle position. The Aruch HaShulchan says, yeah, well, look, how do you balance it? Asur la'adam shemali piv schok b'olam hazeh ki schok v'kalos rosh margilin le'erva. Right? Two levitus and you end up with a rios. V'afil v'zman ha'mikdash asur. Even when there was a mikdash, v'zeh k'shozik v'aschok z'man merubah ha'machirim. He said, this is like to sit down and be joking for hours. Aval schok ba'amol, listen, I'm about to laugh a little bit. That's not a problem, right? A little bit is good, right? The problem is you shouldn't be a frivolous person. Okay. So Rayitzi Blau likes pointing out that if you want a bit of a theology of it, right, not just it's good, it has benefits, right, he notes that part of the answer is that not just how much you should be funny, right, meaning there's room for some humor, it makes you happy, it allows you to see the Shechina, it allows you to, right, it has educational value, right, etc. There's also a difference in quality of humor, right? Right, obviously, there's a difference in quality of humor. Right, meaning
like appropriate humor, versus
humor that has a lesson. Right, meaning humor in certain contexts is didactic.
Yeah.
Right, humor in other ones is
just
not.
Right,
right? Meaning if you want to think of a genre that is not always clean, but at least in principle is didactic humor.
Like satire. Or whatever.
So political. Yeah. Think about it. Like late night shows, right, are meant to You know, especially, let's say, like the sort of modern classic example of someone who uses humor to make people take issues seriously, though he's decidedly not clean, right, is John Oliver. Right, John Oliver. Right? Right, right. He's like the classic example, right? Meaning, but there is a quality to the humor, right? I mean, even if it's sometimes dirty, meaning, leave that aside. But there is.
From the way he explained it.
Yes, but some are better than others. Some are, right? Meaning, his deep dives, right? His 20-minute pieces, which are meant to be educational, like, in a systematic way, not just like a cheap shot.
Right.
That doesn't mean I put my name behind everything that John Oliver says, does, but that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying it's in principle.
Right.
Okay. So the Tiferes Yisrael, so that if you look at the Mishnah in Perkei Avos says as follows. Ribdosim in Hirkanes Omer, Shena Shel Shachres, Yain Shel Saharayim, Tzichas Yeladim, Vishivas Bate Knesset Shel Ame Aretz, Motzinas Adam in Olam. Ribdosim in Hirkanes says that sleeping in the morning, right, naps in the morning, sleeping in, whatever you guys do, make you die. Remove you from the world. Drinking in the afternoon, childish chatter, and the gatherings of the ignorant. So what exactly is pshat here? So let's just look at the English, my English translation here. He says, okay. So Rav Dosa ben Hyrcanus says, he mentioned four things that are very necessary for the health of the body and perfection of man. Nevertheless, if he is not careful concerning them, he'll lose his world through them. So morning sleep is a parable for all lethargy and laziness. A bit of it is good, right? Sleep in on vacation and go to the 7 o'clock chakras instead of the 6:30. Fine. A bit of it is good and much needed. And you're like, see, you have a sense of humor. A bit of it is good and much needed. We're not going to make it up for the 9. A bit of it is good and much needed for the health of the body. That one should rest after exertion. However, one who sleeps all night is no excuse for he's already rested the whole night. Right? Meaning, you need a little bit of rest. Great. You already had a good night's sleep. Get the Seder on time. I don't know. I have no idea. Afternoon wine is a parable for the chasing of pleasures when it is not necessary for the strengthening of the body. For wine is the choicest of pleasures, and it gives the life force to the body, but only a bit of it is good to make the soul rejoice. But too much of it is harmful as it confuses the intellect. Okay. But then he makes an interesting move. Right. The first two, for him, the limitation was quantity. Right?
Yeah.
But then he moves to quality. He says, the chatter of children is a parable for humor and levity, which is, a bit of it is also good to restrain and make the soul rejoice, but only with great men. Right? Meaning, if you're going to have a good time, do it with quality people. Because if you're frivolous with non-quality people, it'll be bad. Who have words of wisdom in their jokes, as it says, whose leaf does not wither, but children's chatter are presumably levity and scorning without a moistness of wisdom and understanding, which will not cause the soul to rejoice, but rather will just confuse the path of the intellect. The gathering of the evening of the ignorant is a parable for idle chatter, which a bit of it is also good, which is interesting, right? Ray Blau points out this is the earliest rabbinic source justifying batala. A little bit of idle chatter is good. A little bit of batala is good. After one has toiled in wisdom, he should be playful with his friends a bit, with unimportant things, for it is not required the strengthening of the mind, so that the soul can get through them like the body rests with sleep. Right? Gashtikal batala is what allows us to learn the rest of the time. You can't be serious all the time. Right? Very few people can. I'm saying yes, but most people need a break. However, this is only among distinguished people, but again, he says that it's about quality. Right? That even when you're going to have a good time and be funny and let down your guard, that's specifically a good time to let down your guard with good people. Because when you're joking around with good people, good things can come of it. If you're joking around with the wrong people, bad things will come of it. He came across this piece in Likutei Maharan. I don't usually quote him, but whatever. I'm already talking about, you know, things I don't normally talk about. So Rav Nachman in... Has a approach to you. We have 4 minutes, okay? V'roi leilech ma'ash nemer b'aymer azamra leilokei be'odi d'hain levakesh l'chapez l'mtso ba'atzmo yitzh z'chut ve'ezen nekuda tova v'ze ma'at tov shemotze ba'atzmo yismach lechazek atzmo. You should always try to find the good in yourself and strengthen it. V'ayniach memukamo, etc. And he says, right, skipping down towards the end, it will be ikar liot b'simcha tamid. Right, he is obviously the Baal HaMemra, that happiness is important. Yismach hazo b'kol ma shiuchal v'afil yidei mila d'shtusa v'asos atzmo kishoteh v'asos inyanei shtut v'tzchok. Right, this is very Breslov. Right, he says you should be happy, even if that sometimes means being a fool. O kvitzer rikudim gilevo simcha shu davar gadol ma'od. Right, because that is an important thing. But the clear even Rav Nachman, right, who said there's a value even to stupidity, is saying in what context? Because it allows you to find the good within yourself, and sometimes if you need to chill, right, you need to be happy to be able to have the strength to get through things, so fine, whatever you need, right? Okay, the last one is a classic example as well in the Gemara, where the Gemara says that Mish Rebbe, when Rebbe died, Batla Anava, Vieras Chait, right, Anava died. And Amr Le Rabbi Yosef, Latana Lotis Le Anava, don't say humility died, Ha Ika Ana, Dika Ana, I'm here, right? Which is funny. Now the Netziv gives an actual pshat to what he's talking about, but the simple read is that this is a bit of, right? Humor. It's humor, but it's a way of simultaneously taking the sting out of this depressing comment with giving Musar. I mean, he's saying, look, if he'd said it in seriousness, I'm the humblest person here, you'd say you're really arrogant, right? You're pathetic. But in the context, right, it's like, I recognize the good in myself, meaning don't be so depressed. We are good people. But the humor allows him to simultaneously say, no, we really are good, right? Don't be depressed. There's good in us, without taking himself too seriously. Right, so Bikitsur, right, the point of this, we actually made it through, right, is that the Torah, the Gemara definitely has humor and values humor to an extent with limits, right, because it recognizes, on the one hand, it's important. Being happy allows us to be involved in spirituality, allows us not get depressed and get bogged down, and in certain contexts like weddings, right, it's important, right, that's just, on the other hand, it can be dangerous if taken to an excess. Right, and part of the reason that you find it integrated into a holistic system is because it has a value if done with quality, if done with the proper perspective, in the right quantities, right? And the challenge is trying to find that balance, but just showing the fact that humor is clearly integrated in a holistic way into the Gemara, but not all the time, right, is evidence that Chazal actually implemented that attempt at a balance. And this is just sort of an initial approach to the values and dangers of humor and why it is incorporated in the Gemara. Okay?